Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset to help you with your goals. I'm so excited for today's episode because I have got my new mic. So hopefully my sound quality is so much better than even the previous episodes. So I've got the Blue Yeti mic, I think it's called. So I'm hoping that it's going to really improve the sound quality, and especially we have a couple of interviews with people over the next few weeks, and then the topics that I'm covering, really, really excited just to bump up even the sound quality of the show. Again, massive thank you to everybody who's been rating the show and listening. Feedback has been crazy. We were the third download in all of Ireland last week, and it was number two in all of health in iTunes. So thank you so much to everybody. We're going to do something a little bit different today. If you're not following me on Snapchat is probably my most used medium at the minute. It's the platform that I'm enjoying the most, mostly because it's really interactive, where I can open up my Snapchat and people can message me directly. But what I do every Monday to Friday is for about an hour every day, I open up my Snapchat where people can ask me questions back and forth, and I literally reply in an instant back and forth on my Snapchat. So BrianK019, if you're not following me on there, definitely go check me out on Snapchat, especially if you've got any questions and you want to talk to me directly. Snapchat is the best place to get me. It's the platform that I'm using the most at the minute because I absolutely love it. It's the only one where I'm able to interact back and forth with people directly. You know, I use YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, but it's a little bit harder to get back and forth with people, where Snapchat is really instant. So definitely check that out. So as I said, today's episode is going to be a little bit different. Basically on Snapchat, I open it up for Q&As with people sending questions. So I'm going to do a Q&A style question today from people that have sending questions from Snapchat. Sometimes the questions I need to expand on, and it takes me more than 10, 20, 30 seconds to expand on a question. So I'm going to take a couple of them from Snapchat now, and I'm going to just go through them on the podcast and expand on them now here. So first question. Hey, Brian, this is sent in. I have a screenshot, but I have no name. Sent in, hey, Brian, do you have shit days at the gym where you're just not feeling it? Okay, I did a video last week basically about how to get your motivation back in the gym. So make sure to check that out on YouTube. But basically, we all get those days. We all have those days where we just feel like shit and we don't want to train. It doesn't matter, and I'm nearly 15 years training. It doesn't matter whether you're a professional athlete or first-time person going to the gym. You're going to get days when you just don't feel like doing it. The key for me has always been to recognize why I don't want to go and why I don't want to train on those days, and then devising the plan based on what I tell myself. For example, if I'm feeling run down and I'm starting to feel sick and I don't want to train because of that reason, it's a sign that my body's probably pushing it to its limit. So either I'm not sleeping enough, I haven't nailed my nutrition, or I'm just overworking. You know, anyone following me on social media, you know that I'm up at 5 or 6 every morning, you know, and I could stay late into the night working. And then I've got my little girl who's 18 months. So there's a lot of sleepless nights. So I get those days where I just struggle the next day and I don't want to train. But if I know it's from coming from a cold or a flu or from a rundown place, I'll generally just take a day or two off and I'll just try and recover. And then normally in 2 or 3 days, the motivation comes back. That being said, it's not always the case. Sometimes, if you're losing motivation and you just don't feel like it, it's because you're stagnating somewhere. So at that time, it's normally worth switching up your training, or it's worth doing something different that's going to get you motivated again for the gym. Like, there are little tips and tricks like changing up your playlist, you know, getting some new gym gear, things like that, like little internal motivations that will help, or external motivations that will help. But the reality is, if it's something that you're just consistently not feeling it, it's probably time to switch up your training. It's probably time to switch up your nutrition. It's probably time to switch up something dramatically so that your body starts to look forward to whatever it is you're doing. So I know myself that personally, my training falls in cycles. So I will do a bodybuilding phase where I do nothing but hypertrophy and time under tension. And after a certain point, I'll just get so sick of that, I'll end up doing a load of CrossFit and a load of high intensity training. Then I'll get sick of that and I'll end up doing loads of cycling and running and swimming. So I know my training comes in cycles. Having been doing this for 15 years, I can spot it before it really kind of takes that full life where you're just so sick and fed up of it, I can start to see it coming on, because I start to get fed up of going to the gym. I start to not look forward to it anymore. And that's when I know it's time to start switching up my training. So determine if it's just a short-term thing where you're just not feeling it in that day. Sometimes something as simple as changing up, you know, listening to your favorite music and actually changing your state can get you ready for the gym, you know, or having some new gym gear that you can pop on. Like, if it's only something that's happening occasionally, that can be enough to change it. But if it's something that's consistent, I would definitely look into the other reasons that it could be, and then switch up your training, switch up your nutrition, do something that just changes up the dynamic so that you're not getting sick of it and you're not getting bored with it. Okay, next question. It's a photo screenshot, so I have no name. When doing movements, is it better doing them slow or fast? Again, this one is going to be dependent on the context and your goals. I'm a big fan of time under tension, which basically means doing reps slowly and working in the range of motion that elicits the most fiber tears. The reason for this is because if you're trying to build muscle, you want to tear more fibers and then use your food and nutrition to get your repair so that you're able to build the muscle back bigger. If you're trying to lose body fat, then you want to tear more fibers because it will elicit your metabolism to elevate because it needs to repair itself from the workouts. But you're also in a calorie deficit, so you're not going to obviously add the size. So in terms of building muscle or losing body fat, I prefer time under tension. The one exception for this, and time under tension is slow training where you're doing, you know, 2 seconds on the way down, 1 second on the way up, 2 seconds on the way up on each movement. The exception for this would be for athletes. So if you're a high-end athlete playing football, soccer, hurling, whatever your sport is, if you're a high-end athlete, you're going to have a little bit more of fast training in there. For example, in my Lean Body GA program, there is a rep range in there where they're a slow negative on a barbell squat in some of the programs, and then an explosive rep up through the top, because you're going to mimic the explosiveness that you would do in a game. In terms of my online top 50 program or my top 60 program, where I work with people online, it's all time under tension, because the main focus for those people that I work with is either to build muscle, tone up, lose body fat, or a combination of those goals. So time under tension is going to work so much better for them. So it really is dependent on where you are at and what your goals are. But if you're looking to lose body fat, or you're looking to build muscle, or you're looking to tone up, I would do time under tension. So slow training, putting the muscle under tension, tearing more fibers, boosting metabolism. And then if you're trying to build muscle, go into a calorie surplus. If you're trying to lose body fat, go into a calorie deficit. Then if you're an athlete, you're going to have a little bit more of a variation with your actual tempos. And it's going to be a little bit more explosive movement in there on top of other ranges. But again, it comes down to your specific goals. Okay, question from ShellMun11 on Snapchat. Omega 3 versus Omega 369, which is better? It really depends on your nutrition here and your goals. If your goal is to lose body fat, you want to have your Omega 3 in a higher ratio to your 6 and 9. If you're looking to primarily build muscle and you're not too worried about body fat, you nearly want the flip range of Omega 6 to Omega 3. So what I would do is, in terms of food, you want to obviously get your omega-3s and your omega-6s in particular from food as much as possible. Obviously, supplementing will help, and I do recommend you get a good omega-3 supplement if you're supplementing with omega-3. It's one of those supplements that you can cheap out on because they have really cheap versions, but I would always go with a higher-end omega-3, the same with a probiotic. They are the two that I would never cheap out on because you get what you pay for in terms of quality. But in terms of actually getting the ratio right, it's going to be dependent on what your goal is. So if you're looking to lose body fat, I would make sure that you're consuming more omega-3 than omega-6. So things like oily fish, flax seeds, you know, salmon, things like that are going to have higher levels of omega-3. Omega-6 then is going to come from, like, you know, your red meat, your egg yolks. That's going to be your omega-6 sources. You want to make sure that you're in the right balance depending on your goals. So for example, if you're a girl looking to lose body fat or a guy looking to lose body fat, I would make sure that your omega-3 is probably around a 3-to-1 ratio. From Ori Hofmeckler's maximum muscle, minimum fat, he normally talks around that 3-to-1 ratio. is pretty solid for a fat loss, and then you flip it for omega-6 when you're trying to like make sure the testosterone is supported and you're trying to build more muscle. You want your omega-6 at about 3:1 to omega-3. Definitely recommend Ori Hofmeckler's books. Maximum Muscle, Minimum Fat, and Unlock the Muscle Gene are two of my favorites. They're quite heavy on the science side, but they've got great sections in there about omega-3s and omega-6s. Omega-3 is so good for like brain cognition, heart health, dropping body fat indirectly as a result of those. And then omega-6 is so good at supporting hormones, things like testosterone, and making sure that your natural steroidal hormones are at optimal levels. So really the balance, you know, if you're trying to do both, where you're trying to build muscle and lose body fat, a 1:1 or 2:1 omega-3 is probably a better balance. And from a health point of view, I always try and keep my omega-3 at a higher balance. But again, it's very goal dependent. So in terms of supplements, I would try and get it from food first. But otherwise, depending on your goals, you're going to supplement with an omega-3 if it's fat loss. If you're really focused on trying to build muscle and not too worried about your fat loss, a 369 is probably going to be better. But my recommendation would be to get the balance from your food and then use your supplement as only a backup. Okay, question from Deegan14. Do you prefer hard copies of books or audiobooks? Okay, so anyone that's been following me a while, you know that I'm a massive reader. You know, I read 3 or 4 books a week between audio and hard copies. I prefer audio. I'm a big audiobook guy. You know, I'm a massive audio fan. Like, one of the reasons my book that's coming out early next year, one of the reasons that I've had to delay the launch was because I want it on Audible. I want to get it up as an audiobook because that's my primary way of listening to books and consuming information. It really depends on your learning style. You know, people that have been following me a while, you know that I worked as a primary school teacher for 4 years. And it made me very aware of people's different learning abilities, learning styles, you know, your visual, your audio, your kinesthetic, and all the different ways you can learn. I personally remember so much more from an audiobook than I do from a hard copy. Like I've had conversations with people where I can quote back sections of books from audio and I'll retain 70-80% of it. But a hard copy, it's about half that. It's just like I would have a very, very mild form of dyslexia. If I read for too long, the words go blurry on the page. So I have to break it into sections. That being said, I've trained myself. It's one of those things that as you train yourself to just focus with it, you tend to get better. Now, it could have been just a mild form of ADHD, but you tend to get so much better with it when you just sit down and practice and you're into what you're reading. So again, anything I read is normally to just support my business, support my life, support my health, support fitness, or support anybody that follows me on any of my platforms, because that's why I do what I do. I will read books on things that have to do with clients I work with or topics I've been asked because it interests me, you know. But I will always opt for the audio version. That being said, I read a lot of physical books as well. I just struggle to read them as much. Normally my routine is during the week I'll listen to a lot more audiobooks, so I could get through 2 or 3 audiobooks during the week, and then I'll try and finish a hard copy book at the weekend. So that's generally how I lay out my week. But again, it's going to be down to preference and what works best for you. If you feel better with audio, use Audible, use an audio app, an audiobook app as your main way to consume information. If you do better from physical hard books, then I would use that. I actually have the Kindle app on my phone as well. So I've actually got, I think, 6 or 7 books where I've got all 3. I've got the hard copy, the audio, and the Kindle of my particular favorite books. Because I will make reference to them, or I'll re-listen to them, or I'll reread them over and over because they've just supported me so much. So it really is whatever works best for you. Okay, another question, another screen from Vinny Leahy 88 on Snapchat. What natural remedies would you recommend for a flu or a head cold? Okay, Vinny, I would definitely check out the episode on what to do when you get sick. That will help massively because I've gone into all the things that I do in terms of how to approach your training, if you should rest, if you shouldn't, what to do with nutrition in terms of bumping up your carbohydrates so that you have enough energy to fight off the infection, or the flu or the cold, and what supplements will work best. So just to give you a brief idea in terms of remedies, when I feel a cold or a flu coming on, the first thing I do is I stop training for a day or two to let it heal, you know, let it recover. Because if you're tearing fibers and training hard, you're putting body under that stress that it needs in order to fight off whatever the sickness is. So by training, you're only going to put your body under more stress, which is actually going to slow down your recovery. So the first thing I do is I take a day or two off, try and get a good night's sleep, because that's where your recovery is. And then in terms of natural remedies, vitamin D, vitamin C, and glutamine are my go-to remedies in terms of supplements. And there's a range of different natural remedies out there that will help. You know, garlic, cloves, and things like that will all support immune function. But the ones that I found have worked best for me is vitamin C, vitamin D, and glutamine. What I normally do when I feel a cold or a flu coming on is I bump my vitamin D to 2 IUs, which is, you know, depending on what form you're taking it in, 2 IUs will be 2 capsules or 2 drops or whatever it is. 2 IUs every 2 hours. You know, I could go up to 10 IUs, 12 IUs, 16 IUs on days I feel run down. Remember, when your immune system is compromised, your body's going to take in more vitamin D and more vitamin C than it would on normal days because it needs it. So I normally bump up my vitamin D to between 10 and 16 IUs. I split the dose, and then I do the same thing with vitamin C. I'll go 1 to 2 grams, you know, every 2 hours. And glutamine, I'll take 5 to 10 grams every 2 hours. And I will literally do that until my immune system comes back normal. I've regularly had people comment how quickly I bounce back from colds and flus. And that's the secret. That's what I do, is I'll take the day off training. I'll try and relax and just go get a good night's sleep if I can. But I'm also sucking down vitamin D, vitamin C, and glutamine every 2 hours until my immune system is back. Because I know they're the things that are going to support immune function. And they help massively in terms of recovery. Okay, great question. I feel I'm probably going to be able to expand on this one too. From Anita Coffee 91. Can eating too much sugary processed food hinder muscle growth even if you're in a surplus and hitting protein goals or hitting your macros? Okay, I'm going to take this from two points of view, because there's my science hat and there's my health hat. And from two points of view, they're very different answers. The reality is, from a scientific point of view, hitting your macros, hitting your protein, staying in a surplus, and all of those things, as long as you're hitting those, technically you will be able to build muscle. The same way as if your fat loss is your goal, if you're technically eating a calorie deficit and hitting your macros, you're going to lose weight. From a scientific point of view, yes, you can. So the reality is, even eating processed foods and sugary foods, you, and I know this as from someone that did it all through college, where I was eating processed foods and eating sugary foods because I didn't really know any different, but I was still training and I was still building muscle and I was able to lose body fat because I was training hard. My body did respond. It's just not optimal. So the reality is, the short answer in that is yes, you can. From my health point of view then, I would advise against it. But again, from a science point of view, you can do it. But from the health point of view, it's not going to be optimal for your health. It's not going to be optimal for your body composition. And it's not going to be optimal for your actual overall energy levels and the way you feel. One of the first things I do in my online program is I cut processed food. I'm a big advocate of eating real food. The reality is, your body is designed and evolved over time to digest real food. Those processed ingredients, and it's not the processed, actual processing I have a problem with. It's because the processed ingredients normally remove a lot of the nutrients. So a lot of the quality nutrients that are in foods get removed in the processing. And then what gets added is like things like preservatives and additives and emulsifiers and sugar, because it'll keep its shelf life longer. So it's not so much the processing that I have a problem with, it's what happens during that process, the actual removal of the good stuff and adding in the bad stuff. So in terms of your health levels, so things like your cravings are going to be so much worse, because your body's going to have to work at figuring out what it is you're consuming, because your body hasn't adapted to understand those preservatives, emulsifiers, and additives. The reality is, I talk about this in a section of my book, where those ingredients that have been added to some of the processed foods have only been around for 50 or 60 years. You know, we've been around for thousands and millions of years, depending on how far you track it back. People have grandparents and parents that have been around when these foods weren't even on the planet. You know, your body isn't evolved to break down the additives and preservatives that are getting added to processed food. So every time you consume it, you're giving your body an extra job to do. You're giving your body and your vital organs and everything that has to digest it a job to do, to figure out what these foods are and try and assimilate where it goes. You know, the real problem with some processed foods and trans fatty acids in particular is your body doesn't recognize what they are. So when it consumes them, it panics. And when it panics, your body will always prioritize keeping you alive over making you lean or making you skinny or making you build muscle. It'll always prioritize keeping you alive. So it's going to shuttle trans fatty acids and some of the processed ingredients into fat stores where it's safe away from vital organs. So from an evolutionary point of view, your body's going to store more body fat eating those foods because it doesn't understand what they are. It's going to keep you safe. It's going to shuttle them away from vital organs where they can't cause you any direct damage. And where does it do that? Puts it into the fat stores. So that's where my issue with processed food is and trans fatty acids that comes from some fast foods. That's why I tend to cut them. Secondary, they have such an effect on cravings. I know as somebody that struggled for years with really bad food cravings and a little bit of a really bad, poor eating relationship and relationship with food in general. That's why I feel so strongly about it now, is it was down to a physiological response of the ingredients that were added to these foods. You know, one of the first things, now I've got some testimonies back from my last online program, and every single one of them has said that their cravings went. They were like, that was one of the first things in the feedback on it. I was like, what did you enjoy in the program? And it was like, my cravings are gone. I have no cravings because we cut the trigger. We cut the thing that was doing it, the processed ingredients, the sweeteners, the artificial sweeteners, the preservatives, the different foods that had all of these things added to it, we cut them. And when you find the source, you fix the problem. So cut the trigger and then the cravings go. So in terms of from a health point of view and from an overall life point of view and how much better you'll feel when your blood sugars are balanced and you don't have cravings and you don't feel terrible from consuming processed and sugary foods, your overall life quality will improve. And that's always been my goal with anyone I work with online and in my online programs. It's to get your health first. And the reality is you can have whatever physique you want when you fix that. If you get everything working internally, it's so much easier to burn body fat. It's so much easier to build muscle. It's so much easier to improve performance. But that's number one. So that's kind of the answer from two sides. From my science hat, you can eat sugary foods and processed foods and still build muscle or technically lose body fat if you're in a deficit. But from my health point of view, I would advise against it for all the reasons that I've mentioned. Okay, question from RossW89. I train at 6 a.m. every weekday. I'm never hungry when I wake. Is it okay to do resistance training fasted? Okay, two answers to this, really. One, I would say that resistance training fasted isn't optimal, and I'll explain the reasons now. But also fitting your training into your lifestyle is just as important as doing things optimally. So in terms of is it okay, I would definitely say if that is the only way in which you can do your resistance training, then I would definitely do it. And there's some hacks you can use that'll support you. In terms of optimally, because of the energy system that you use when you do resistance training, by doing it fasted, you're probably not going to be able to train at optimal level. I know this myself, even from years of experimenting with training times, and when I used to work as a teacher, when I lived in London, when I was working as a personal trainer where I could train at any time, you know, now to having an online business where I travel all over the world, like, there's different times I know myself what is optimal, and it's the same with people I've worked with. Generally, first thing in the morning, because your body will always go to its glucose, glycogen, body fat as its energy sources, training fasted in the morning after having, you know, an 8-hour fast or however long you were asleep, you're never going to be able to train as optimally resistance training wise. But that being said, getting it done is more important than not doing it. There's a couple of hacks that I would do though, because generally having some form of fat and carbohydrate meal, or fat or carbohydrate meal and a protein meal, and then waiting and training is always going to be more optimal because there's something in your body that you can use as an energy source. You are going to be able to lift a little bit more weight or have a higher level of endurance while you're training. But again, it's goal specific. I assume resistance training, it's going to be mainly hypertrophy stuff you're doing. But what I would do if it was me, and there has been times when I've had to do my resistance training fasted, is two things that tend to work really well, is having your carbohydrates in your pre-bed meal so that your glycogen stores, there's a little bit of leftover glycogen from the night before. So when you wake up in the morning, even though you're not hungry, you still have a little bit of glycogen there that you can tap into directly in the morning. And what I generally use is I would have some coconut oil, or actually I use brain octane oil, which is the high chain, medium chain triglyceride oil, but any version of coconut oil or MCT or XCT oil will work great with coffee first thing in the morning. And then I go and train, and then I have branched-chain amino acids during the session so that I'm not truly fasted. Like, you never really want to do resistance training in a pure fasted state, because your body is going to start to tap into its amino acids. It's going to start to tap into its muscle because there's nothing else there. Unless you have a massive consumption of calories over the last day or 2 days before, but assuming you're just eating a normal nutritional plan and you're following everything and this is just the way your life is set up, I would do those hacks. I would have your carbohydrate meal before you go to bed that night. I would get up in the morning and I would have maybe coffee if you can stomach it. If you can't, don't worry about it, but some form of MCT. So you have, you know, coconut oil or XCT oil or MCT oil or brain octane oil, and then a branched chain amino acid drink while you're training so that you're not truly in a fasted state. So your body, at least in the worst case scenario, is going to take those BCAAs, use those for fuel so that you won't tap into any of the muscle that you've been working so hard to build up to that point. So that's everything from this week's episode. I just want to say a massive thank you as well to everyone who's been rating the podcast. And I've had so many people message me on Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram saying, oh, my friend told me to get onto your podcast. So thanks so much for recommending it to people, guys. And the ratings. We were third of all Irish downloads last week. I think it was 11,000 downloads. And then it was number two in the entire health rating on iTunes, which is absolutely incredible. I cannot thank you enough. So everyone that's taken the time to go and rate the podcast, that's been amazing. So if you found value in this, guys, please go and just give the podcast a rating. The more ratings we get, the more episodes I can pump out and the more value I can keep giving you guys. So I just want to say a massive thank you for that. Keep listening. Catch up to you next week. Keep killing it.